You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 352, Dog & Pony Show Season 5, Episode 11, recorded May 2021, posted July 2022. All is not well.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar. Wherever you are, whenever you are, it's Tuesday night here in Barovia. That's right, we are continuing the adventures of the Dog and Pony Show, playing the epic adventure, The Curse of Strahd. Allow me to introduce our players. They will introduce their characters, and then I'll remind you of the action so far. Starting off, it's everybody's favorite sky pilot. It's Dan Carnage. Oh, nope. No, he wasn't available.
Dan Carnage.
Dan, I'd like to say that many of my intros are improvised on the spot. That one is totally ripped from a DuckTales episode I saw 3 weeks ago and think about every day.
That's because Don Carnage is amazing. But I'm not Don Carnage.
Somebody keeps calling him Dan Carnage and he doesn't like it.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Welcome, Dan Carnage. I am Dan Moore, playing Cast in Onatar's Crucible, a Warforged cleric of the god Onatar, who uses the pronouns they, them, while I use the pronouns he, him.
Thank you, Dan. Next up, it's Erica Ensign. Hi, Erica.
Hello. I play Brildish, the dwarven paladin. Her pronouns, like mine, are she, her, and Brildish has a celestial pony named Pony Sindelarant, whose pronouns are he, him.
Also joining us, it's Micah Sargent.
I play Elivor Landman, the half-elf druid, and also Samus, the saber-toothed tiger. Elivor and my pronouns are he, him, and Samus's are she, her.
Thank you, Micah. Also joining us, it's Aline Sims. Hi, Aline.
Hello, I play Imra Soliana, the wood elf ranger, and her trusty, not-steed androdite, the mastiff puppy. And we all are she, her pronoun people.
And last, but certainly not least, it's Jane Ritt. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Tony and everyone. I play Lena Dulina, the human rogue. We both use she, her pronouns.
And I've already forgotten if I actually introduced myself, but I am Tony Sindelar. I use he, him, his pronouns. I am here dungeon mastering today, as I am many days under the banner that is Total Party Kill. So, what have our adventurers been up to? Well, they've been east and west all over Barovia, that is to say, big Barovia. They have fought druids, they have fought an old lady who lived in a walking hut, they have been to scary abbot asylum places. A lot of stuff has happened, and, you know, they've gathered a variety of intelligence against one Strahd von Zarovich, and now seem prepared to take the fight to him. That's right. They're headed to Castle Ravenloft, intent on confronting one Strahd von Zarovich. Along the way, they are passing through the town of Velaki, a town they have passed through before. You are accompanied by your various entourage at this point, as previously mentioned, that you've got Samus, the saber-toothed tiger, Pony the pony, Androdite the dog, Argal the assassin, who I have totally forgotten to put on the map, and one of Vasilica, a flesh golem created by the abbot, intended as a bride for Strahd, built at his request. Lots of creepy things about that, but you have previously befriended her and planned to kind of, I guess, travel with her to Ravenloft. And perhaps she will be helpful in your adventures. But on your way to the aforementioned Ravenloft, you have passed near Velaki, and things do not look good. Velaki is a walled town that it's the largest settlement in all of Barovia, much bigger than the smaller Little Barovia and Berez to the west. And it's overseen by a somewhat tyrannical Burgermeister, one Baron Volakovich, who is perhaps best known for a style of government based around mandatory festivals every several days.
Tony, point of order, I would like to rename my character Tyrannical Burgermeister.
You know, I hadn't said Burgermeister in quite a while in this game. We haven't been in civilization here in Barovia, and I think I've actually said Burgermeister so many times now that I don't think it's a stupid word. So usually it's like you say a word so many times that it loses all meaning. And it's like here, it's like, no, it's fine. That's a totally regular word.
It gets more powerful every time.
I feel like early on in this adventure, maybe even the first episode, you said Burgermeister like 18 times and we're like, this is the funniest word that I have ever
it's
heard.
It's still a little funny when I think about
it's
it.
It's pretty good.
A Meister of burgers.
That's your problem. Don't think about it.
Yep. So a clock started then and has just rang with it has become a normal word to
my
us.
My watch is done. Yeah. Good job, Tony's brain. So you are approaching the outskirts of Valaki, and you notice that things don't look great there. There is kind of columns of smoke rising from perhaps some recent fires across town. There's no other traffic on the old Zvolich Road coming or going from Valaki, and you can even see here, kind of from a distance, that the main gates into Valaki are closed. So it seems like things are not as you left them. When you were back in Valaki, I don't know, it was like a year ago in our time. I don't know how many days ago it was in game time, because I can't keep track of that. My brain doesn't work that way. Probably like fair a enough. Week.
I have a question. So does Lena have her little smoke dragon?
I believe so, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So that's just one more to add to the menagerie.
I was going to say, I'm not making a token for that. And I was like, I think I have a token for that. It's just on a different map. I don't know how many tokens you need to drag around. It's unclear. I don't know if the smoke dragon is a combat operative so much as
I don't think Lena would allow that.
Lena is not going to use the smoke dragon for either combat or utility purposes.
I appreciate that as the dungeon master.
I feel like you mentioned that it only has like 6 hit points. So her operating orders are, if there is danger, just hover distantly and watch.
It's mainly the number of sidekicks that you have, and you know, some of you entered this campaign with your companion animals, but almost everyone has picked up some kind of. Dan, I think I need you to manage Vasilika. Are you up for that? I think you are the next.
Vasilika.
I think you are you're the only one that doesn't currently have a
companion pal.
Some kind of
he's
minion.
Our construct specialist.
That's true. We are fellow constructs.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I mean, if Elevor's got Samus, Lena, you're in charge of Aragol.
You can have Aragol. Bully,
everyone's quick to volunteer.
I don't think anybody wanted Aragol.
Yeah.
Poor Aragol.
It is fun playing two rogues, though, because sometimes I can roll like 15d6.
Crucible has never gotten along with Aragol, like, not because Crucible doesn't get along to it, but like one time they were having a snack and Crucible offered him a handful of ball bearings and he did not seem appreciative, so it's kind of
he choked him
sour the relationship.
But he made a weird face the whole time. All right, we've been technically playing Dungeons and Dragons for 10 minutes and nothing has happened yet.
We approach the gate cautiously.
All right. It is, I think, probably mid to late afternoon. The sun is shining, which is to say it's not shining because it's Barovia. There is some kind of glow comes from behind the ever-present gray, cloudy sky. There does not seem to be anyone at the gates. The gates appear closed.
Hello. We wish to enter the city.
No response.
That's weird.
Right. I'm going to roll a perception check just to see if there's anything that can be seen that gives us any more hint other than what we have been able to see thus far.
We saw smoke hanging above the city, didn't we, when we last left? Okay.
Yeah, so kind of I want more than that. I rolled a 21, so hopefully I can have more than that. To just try to get some more hints, maybe, about what the heck's going on.
I would say with your finely tuned senses, Elevor, you definitely smell some this kind of smoldering ashes of recent fires. It's very quiet here. Strange that there's certainly no sounds of, you know, Valaki is a dense settlement, and you'd expect to hear sounds of people working and children playing and people doing various chores and whatnot, and it's just deathly quiet.
Is there playing in Barovia?
Sure. So, I mean, children occasionally make noise as they scamper off into the woods to be abducted by, by the...
Yes, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
When I said each other, when I said the sound of children playing, I meant the children of the night.
Okay, thank you.
You know, sure. Vampires cavorting with little werewolves and whatnot.
How have we reached the gate? We've reached the gates, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Do they appear still locked, still... you know, barred or whatever?
Yeah, I don't think it's obvious from this side, but they appear to be closed and secured in place. Yes.
How high are the gates?
How high are the gates / walls? That is totally a question that I knew you were going to ask, that I meant to look up ahead of time. Am I just going to say 15 feet? Or am I scrolling through a PDF trying to find a more exact number? No one
can say.
Can you just do Command F high?
Let's put it this way. higher than Crucible could easily like boost Lena like so she hops over.
15 foot, the wall and gates are 15 feet high. And they're kind of made, I imagine them kind of old-timey fort style.
Like stockade.
Stockade style, big wooden kind of posts.
Could Crucible essentially like give Lena a boost and get her over that?
Lena is very roguish. I don't know if Lena wants to go over a 15 foot gate.
She asked how high it was. I assume that's where my brain was going.
Yeah, I'd like to at least try and with a boost kind of scramble up and see what I can see over the.
She can stand on my on Crucible's shoulders, no problem.
All right, Lena, you scramble up on Crucible's shoulders. You are peering over the gate. It is indeed. It looks like you can see down that there are, you know, there are basically some crossbars keeping the gate in place. There are no guards stationed. There would normally be guards stationed here, basically on the wall at the gate, and you can see no guards along the perimeter of the walls around Valaki. No guards here at the gate. You know, you see the town of Valaki beyond with its various buildings. There are still some kind of looks like it's kind of just gray wisps of smoke at this point, but the signs that there were some recent significant fires within Valaki. No, nobody's on the street in front of you.
I am going to try and scramble over the top and then scramble down and unbar it from the other side.
Sure. Give me a real easy acrobatics check to get over without landing on your neck.
Yep. Real easy athletics check.
Acrobatics, I'd say.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
That was a 27 tree check.
All right, that is unnecessary. She
flips over and then, like, flips while landing, kicks the bar up, and then does, like, a superhero landing.
Yes, unfortunately,
nobody sees because they're on the other side of the door.
Yeah, you basically, you just launch yourself off Crucible's shoulders. You are never in contact with the wall or gate itself. So, the gate is unbarred. It's a big, heavy set of wooden doors that open inward. It is going to take probably a little bit of work for all of you to kind of push the gates open, but you could now enter, and I guess you could bring your wagon full of wine with you if you want to. So not going to leave that on the street unsupervised. Argal and Vasilika seem a little uncertain about this, but they will look to you for direction as to where they should go versus where they should.
There's no the wagon is not covered in any way, right?
I don't think so. I imagine.
I thought we determined last time that there was space for them to like get in because we've taken some of the wine out.
But it's not a covered wagon.
They would still be seen, I guess. Is the point?
It's not like an Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Well, I mean, if they wanted to hide, we could throw like a blanket over it.
Yeah, they'd just be lying under a tarp for hours. So the life of a non-player character.
I mean, I want to, you know, if they're that nervous, then they can do that. But also, they have hoods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice deep hoods.
Start with the hoods. Yeah.
Pony requests a hood. They know me here.
Well, he's got blinders.
He just doesn't want to be seen with us.
I owe money to the wrong people.
Shall we venture inside then?
All right.
Yeah. Sure.
So we'll assume are all of you with wagon and in tow are heading into the town of Valaki.
I think we should go to the inn.
Yeah. I don't think we should leave anybody behind.
All right.
Correct.
So this map is obviously not to scale with your tokens, so don't worry about that too much, but, you know.
I'm gigantic!
You are, yes, you are bigger than most houses, Crucible. We just never noticed until now. So you know the town, the layout of Valaki, having spent some time here before. As you make your way down the kind of, there's, you know, basically the main road that is a continuation of the old Solitz Road, kind of cuts east to west across Valaki. There's an offshoot that heads north to Lake Zarovich, but most of the places of interest are either on or within sight of the old Solitz Road. As you head into town, you notice that things are very quiet here. There are some of the houses appear to be boarded up, and some buildings are marked with somebody has painted bright red X's on the doors.
Always a good sign.
I ask Lena, what does the red X mean?
Do I recognize this from my youth as a child growing up in Valaki, Tony?
Ah, such japes we had, painting red X's on one another's doors.
A festival.
Yeah, did you play Barovian tic-tac-toe? It has no special meaning to you as a child of Barovia.
I don't recognize it, but it seems bad.
This is like the opposite of a festival.
Now who's sad about festivals? You people are.
Shall we continue sort of quietly making our way through the streets towards the center
town? Yeah, I feel like we should get straight to the inn.
I
will just remind you of possible locations that you could head to. So you'll head in.
Tony, point of order before we do that. What do you guys think? Should we bar the gate behind us?
Oh, yeah. Let's keep it closed. Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that before we go, is we'll replace the bar and close the gate.
Take only memories, leave only gates that you close behind yourselves. Yes.
That's right. Got it. That's right.
All right. So you return the gate to its locked fashion. You're heading down the road. On your left is the main church of Valaki. I don't know if you really spent any time there.
Nope.
I didn't even know there was a church.
Yeah. It's, let me tell you, very similar in layout and design to that one church in Little Barovia where you spend a night. Remember that? Good times.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Nothing bad happened there except for that vampire child.
Nothing bad happened to us.
Yeah, nothing bad happened to you. You know that the Blue Water Inn is in the center of town. It's the token that says N2 on it. What other locations might you care about that you're going to ask me about later?
Blinsky.
Blinsky, I believe, is N7, also center of town. N3 is the Burgermeister's mansion. I think N4 is Walker House, which is remember you almost joined a book club.
Yeah.
Memories.
I think we only really like Blinsky and the inn. So regardless of the overall situation of the town, we're probably gonna check on them first.
We're here to
only other one we care about is the Burgermeister's house because there's a wedding dress.
All right. Yeah. So you head in the direction of the Blue Water Inn, a place of previous refuge where you only got attacked every night that you slept there. And are trudging along.
Some of those attacks became friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
50% of attacks turned out.
Those attacks were literally the friends we made along the way.
Yeah, except for that strange man who was outside the window tapping on it.
He's just a pre-friend, Tony.
Yeah, well.
He did invite us for brunch.
Yeah, and you turned it down and murdered his girlfriend in a lake.
I don't think we turned it down as much as events happened, and he decided to rescind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we dilly-dallied a little bit.
We remember things differently.
I heard it all three times. I'm pretty sure I'm right on this one.
Okay.
Just saying. I was there, I edited it, and then I listened to the episodes.
So you pass a variety of houses that are all that are boarded up, that have red X's painted on them. It does seem like you do notice as you get closer to the center of town, a little bit of a sense of kind of, there is, the town is not abandoned. Elevor, I'll apply your 21 perception check here. You definitely kind of catch out of the corner of your eye, maybe a person peeking out of a second story window from behind a curtain and then, you know, disappearing from view as soon as anyone looks in that direction.
Elevor whispers, Contrary to what I believed before, there are still people here. Mm-hmm. They're all just hiding.
Really? Brolish looks around.
I just say, be chill, be chill.
And as you are heading toward the center of town, feel free to just move all your tokens in that direction. From around a corner on a side street comes a quartet of guards. May or may not be people that you've harmed or harmed their close friends and relatives in your previous trip to Valaki, but they have the distinctive look of the Valaki militia. They are patrolling as a group. They are carrying weapons out in the open, so they've got their swords in their hands. Two of them have bows and arrows with arrows kind of ready, and they say, "Halt!"
Oh, hello.
Who goes there?
We have wine.
What misfortune has... What misfortune has befallen the city?
Who are you?
Lots
people?
Of questions for you to answer.
We are visitors to this town. We stopped by a few. How long ago was it? Days, weeks?
A few days ago.
Days, yeah.
We were here ago.
We were sent by the proprietor of the inn to go and fetch wine. As you can see, we have just returned with it. What has happened while we were gone?
How did you even get through the gates?
They were open.
They were. Mm-hmm.
I grew up here. I have my ways.
Give me a quick
like an open gate.
A quick bluff check there, Elevor. I will give you. You can have advantage on it because the person you're talking to is not the brightest.
All right. There's one roll and there's two rolls. I'm gonna just take a little inspiration. How's a 16?
The guy says, okay. It shouldn't have been open. We'll have to go check on that right away.
We should probably
report this. Well, get to the inn. Nobody should be out on the street, and you definitely don't want to be here after sundown. Move along, citizen.
Now,
gestures dramatically with his sword.
We're gladly on our way to the inn, but, you know, maybe we could be of assistance. What's going on here?
Something's been attacking the people. Something at night.
And what about these marks on the doors? Are these places that are cleared from the attacks, or are these places where the attacks might be coming from? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Those are people that have been taken.
Taken.
So there's no one inside of the X stores.
I mean, not much left.
Oh.
Taken how?
Something has been attacking people at night. It doesn't make any sense. The festivals, we're supposed to be safe. This is supposed to be... it's not well! One of the other guards comforts him. They're there, Walter. It'll be okay.
Crucible reaches out and puts a hand on the shoulder of that guard and says...
Walter.
Walter.
Yeah.
Everything will be okay. Trust in your faith.
And if your faith fails you after patrol, come to the inn. There's wine now.
or trust the wine. Steal.
And if the wine fails you, perhaps we can be there to help you, Walter.
Come on, guys. We should go check the gate. Walter and his three co-workers look ready to head off to the gate.
Elevor does say, you really don't have to because we closed it, but okay. And then we can just keep trumbling along.
The Blue Water Inn is not far from where you are. It does not look like anyone else is staying at the Blue Water Inn. There's no sign of horses tied up outside. The curtains are all drawn. The door that would normally be open with inviting you into the tap room of the Blue Water Inn is closed. Things seem abandoned, quiet, desolate, unwelcoming, at the very least.
We knock on the door.
Yeah, I don't. I'm on pony, so I'm not knocking. But
okay,
Crucible will step up and rap at the door.
You kind of hear your knock kind of echo in a big quiet room beyond. There's no response.
Is the door open?
You want to check the door?
Yeah,
sure. The door appears to be locked. Because it is
Lena
locked.
Yells, "Wine!"
Now, Lena, whining won't get us anywhere.
Is this the inn has more than one floor, right?
The inn does have more than one floor. Let me just check here. Ugh, I don't have the map totally ready.
This is like the main door, right? Like this is like the door we would go in if we were coming to stay at the inn. And it's locked.
The inn has multiple floors. And it does have kind of, it even has multiple entrances. And yes, you know that, for example, you all stayed in one large room on the second floor of the inn. There are other rooms on the inn. But yeah, it does not seem like, it's possible that, you know, if somebody is, you know.
Are there any windows open is what I want to know.
I would also knock, Crucible will knock louder.
All right.
You could try some other doors that might be closer to where people would be inside. Like if they're just hunkering down, they're not going to hunker down in the main tap room.
You knock louder, and you do hear there are some ravens up on top of the roof of the Blue Water Inn, up kind of by the peak of the roof,
and they seem
to be cawing noisily back and forth to each other, perhaps in reaction to your knock.
We gesture at the wine, and then at ourselves.
One of the ravens kind of takes off and swoops around, does a little loop. And then heads in through. It looks like there must be like a little opening, kind of at the peak of the roof. And you hear a few moments pass, and some kind of the shuffling of feet inside the tap room beyond. And Erwin Mardikoff, one of the owners, he owns and operates the tavern is there. He looks a little disheveled. He seems to be wearing like a nightshirt, but he's looking at you as you are standing on the stoop of his tavern. Hello?
We're back.
You're back. And we with have, wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we said we were going to go and figure it out, and we did. Things seem a little different here than when we left.
Yes, you should. Here, let us bring that around back, and we'll get you off the street as quickly as we can. Okay. Right this way. So
I put Pony in the stables.
Yeah, you put Pony in the stables. Aragoth stays there.
So. Make sure he gets plenty of water.
Yes, and
also the pony.
Which one? Yeah, yeah.
a helping quantity of hay for each. And the rest of you and Vasilika head into the cold, dark, otherwise empty main tap room of the Blue Water Inn. You can see the two Mardikoff children kind of peeking out from a door that leads into the kitchen off the side of the bar before the matriarch pulls them back and closes the door. And Erwin Mardikoff is there. He's kind of wringing his hands and says, we were possibly making plans to depart Valaki ourselves. Things are not as safe here as they once were.
We heard What's about the attacks on? From the people patrolling. Can you do you know anything more about these? What exactly has been attacking these people?
It seems to be servants of Strahd. I've never before inside a town like this here in Valaki. I don't understand it. This is very new.
Can you tell us when these attacks began?
A few days ago. Every night, people wake up in the morning and they find houses that have been broken into and the people inside slaughtered or taken.
Did anything peculiar or unusual happen before the attacks started?
Not that I can think of.
Tony, point of order, a few days ago, would that be around the time that that whole thing with that pool of water happened?
Maybe. Who can say?
Oh, man, is this on us?
I mean,
how could it not be?
Are you responsible for the actions of a mad vampire lord, Dan? Are you taking that on your shoulders?
I don't know.
I mean, I just feel like, I honestly think you could put a lot of this on me, is what I'm saying.
All right. I can live with that.
Tony, how could you do this to these poor people?
It's in a book. Very few of these people are real.
Books I want to be can kill Tony.
Very few.
Okay, wow.
There's a couple of people who have wronged me, and now they're trapped in this adventure. Deal with it.
Us.
Yeah. We are the people.
Yeah. Aline, Micah, Dan, Aaron.
Oh, no, dude. This is like the time my roommates named like their fish in their aquarium after like actual friends of ours, and then I
you
got home one day.
You should not do that with
Don't
fish.
Do that, because I got home that one day, and I'm like, oh, what's going on? He's like, oh, well, Chris died. I'm like, what
no!
happened?
No.
He seemed fine yeah. this morning. This oh, is, no, that's a snail.
Do not name animals after friends. Maybe, like, a tortoise? Maybe?
Maybe.
They live a very long time.
Birds? Don't birds live a long time?
Some birds. Some birds. Other yeah. birds.
All right. To rewind us here for a moment.
I've got like, experience with a low, with a short-lived bird. Some
Crucible,
birds.
Crucible would like to inquire from the proprietor if there is any pattern to the people who have been taken or attacked.
No. We've been trying, and there's been some communication with the rest of my family. They've been debating whether we should stay here or they should try and reinforce us, or we should just give up on Valaki. But it doesn't make any sense. Nothing like this has ever happened before. I mean, the roads at night have never been safe, but here within the town?
Well, I can tell you that your family's
Martyr
position
seem to be molting.
Your family's position is much improved. We have managed to stabilize the druid situation that they were dealing with.
I heard. I appreciate that the wine is just is more than I could even. You have done so much for our people, for the people of Barovia. I wish you were here at a better time.
I go and get like a giant stein full of wine and just hand it to him and go, here, you look like you could use
he
this.
He glugs it noisily.
His traditional Barovian wine stein.
Yeah, his beard is streaked with red and purple. He kind of wipes his mouth. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
We would be pleased to render our assistance if possible, but without knowing where the next attack might be coming, it is difficult for us to figure out how to intercept these agents of the devil.
I think they're in the town. I don't think they're coming over the walls. I think they're here.
You think the calls are coming from inside the town?
I think that's what I said.
Okay, just wanted to confirm.
I don't understand your reference.
That pop culture reference inside of a game.
None of you are real.
I feel trapped.
Computer and program.
I mean, we could certainly at least spend the night here and maybe nap until sundown and protect the inn and any of the buildings right around here. I don't think we can stretch ourselves, thin to protect the entire town, but maybe we could at least get some eyes on what's happening. And
yeah, I would like to check on Blinsky first, and like, we could stay here, but maybe we just promise to come back.
Leave
this is
the
where
wine
we'll stay and help.
Aragol, and maybe let's go check. Mm-hmm.
And see if, I mean, maybe the dress would be an easy thing to get before night hits.
It's really easy to steal stuff in a town where everybody is terrified.
And the points don't matter.
We also, your unique bond with Pony Sindelarant could perhaps help us in that we would be able to have Pony remain here with the family and alert us if we wish to patrol or inspect other locations.
That's true. As long as we don't go farther than a mile.
So Blinsky's toy shop is just down the street, basically, from the Blue Water Inn, if that is where you would like to head next.
I think that's a good idea.
I will ask Erwin Mardikoff. I mean, has anybody thought to bring people together? Like, maybe have, a bunch of people at the inn, a bunch of people at the church, and barricade those buildings?
Everyone is afraid of everyone. Everyone thinks that perhaps their neighbor is one of these creatures. Some people have been spending their nights in the church. And there have been fewer attacks on that side of town, but I don't know. I just don't know. I don't want to be there with all the crowds. There's it's not clear where is and where isn't safe.
Is there any lore around a sort of a test that can be done to determine if we might be, you know, dealing with somebody who would be attacking? Is there some way that we would be able to determine that if we could get everyone together and, you know, if there's a rapid test available, say, to check, then we could sort of,
I mean, I guess you did learn some information. It depends what nature of creatures they are. I mean, Strahd has many servants, be it the creatures of the forest, be it humans who are just doing his bidding. Certainly the undead and, you know, vampires are a little bit easier to spot and can only operate in certain conditions.
Maybe we could just we whisper in their ear, say the following phrase, and you whisper, "I hate Strahd von Tsarevich." Mm. And then if they say it, then they're good.
Do you want to test Erwin Markov?
Yeah.
No one will say that. Everyone is afraid to speak his name.
Yeah.
Although he did say Strahd, like, literally about 2 minutes ago. I caught that, but that might have been a Tony misspeak.
Not his entire name.
Erwin Mordekoff isn't as superstitious as the rest of Valaki.
Perhaps we could investigate one of the houses from which the folk have been taken, see what nature of attack it has been.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. So let's leave the wagon and Aragol here. Do we want to leave Vasilka with Aragol? How do we feel about that?
Let's leave her here for now.
Yeah.
Okay. Agreed. So we'll leave her with Aragol and Pony.
Can we leave her inside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's ask her where she, like, if she would rather.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Does she want to be alone inside with a bunch of people she doesn't know, or would she rather hang out with Aragol and Pony in the nice warm stables?
As you may remember.
well, if you word it like that.
Objection.
Vasilika has a series of nice little, like, calligraphied little cards now, because Vasilika cannot. She, mm-hmm. I believe, does not have vocal cords. And so she flips through them, and she holds up two. And the first one says, she flips over, books. And the second card just is a question mark.
Ah, do you have a library, perchance, that our friend here could...
We have a few things that past visitors have left, and he kind of points you over to a corner. There's a kind of sad stack of...
It's all Rictavio's books.
12 or 15, you know, various books. It's like half of them are Tom Clancy novels with the cover story.
These things show up everywhere.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, there's some travel guides to Barovia, which are real sad. It's
just
mainly,
don't.
yeah.
It's like devolves into a lot of people like, I can't figure out how to leave.
Yeah.
Do panic.
So that was a great reference. Then we can just tell Aragol Vasilika is going to be inside reading if danger should happen.
Well, please. Actually, I'd like to ask Vasilika.
Aragol has already started a game of dice with one of the horses that stays in the barn here.
I was going to say with Pony, or
I think I got this one.
Pony's
too good.
Pony's not
he
interested
owns
in
Pony.
He's in deep to
Pony's
Pony.
Too shrewd for that.
Yeah.
I would like to ask Vasilika if she's just looking for general reading or if there's something specific that she wants to read. Like, should we keep our eye out
Vasilika
for a book?
Flips through the cards and it just says, yes.
That was an either or question and you got a yes.
Vasilika flips through the cards. Sorry. Flips the cards again. Books, and then an exclamation point.
So any books?
Okay. She flips through. Yes.
Okay. Nice. Thank you.
She should really keep a couple of these right at the top for you guys.
Keep it simple.
Cool. All right.
Erwin Mordekoff kind of gives you directions. There is one one site of a recent attack just down the street. From the Blue Water Inn. I've put an X on a house.
Creepy.
Yeah, let's check
it out. All right, let's stop by Blinsky's and then head on to the house.
You head down the street to Blinsky. It's literally like three or four buildings down the street and around the corner.
I'm so worried about
please
Piccolo.
Please don't cross-check my exact directions with that episode 45 episodes ago. But it is
yeah,
near.
That one is basically across the street.
Yeah,
I plugged it into Google Maps. It seems accurate enough.
All right, it's very nearby. Blinsky's does seem to be basically like boarded up. There used to be kind of display windows showing his weird creepy toys, and somebody has put boards over that. There's a curtain drawn at the window. There does not seem to be any activity. The streets are deserted. You don't see another patrol of guards right now, but it's possible another one could be by any moment.
Let's knock on the door. Mr. Blinsky! Piccolo!
Wow.
Hello? We can always go around to the back door. We know there's a back door.
No, but nobody answers at the front door.
Let's go to the back door. Plus, we'll be out of sight.
Wait, let's see if the passphrase works.
I was like, Erica's going to remember that there was a back door.
And it's off an alley, so it'll be more out of sight if another patrol comes around. Yeah. So I feel like maybe that's a good idea.
Right. Micah, did you want to do something before going to the back door?
Well, we can wait till we go around to the back door. But then at the back door, Elevor sort of looks around like, ready? And then he says, "Is no fun!"
From somewhere from inside the house, Star Echo is back. "Is no Blinsky!" There's the padding of feet as someone rushes like across the
falls
door.
Falls across a few things.
Yeah, several, possibly a large crate full of cymbals just got knocked onto the ground. You hear the sound of a bar being pulled back. Several locks cluck, and Blinsky is standing there looking at you. "My friends, I am not thinking I ever see you again."
"We have returned."
That's what Blinsky sounds like, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Please come in. It's not safe.
"So we have heard."
You follow him in.
Yeah, we're definitely going inside for sure.
Is Piccolo there?
Blinsky rushes you in. Piccolo, his adopted circus monkey, is perched on his shoulder.
Phew.
And you're rushed into a dark and kind of dusty, depressing toy store. Blinsky puts the bar back in place and clicks all the lock closed. He seems a little out of breath from the amount of exertion that he just did. It's a lot of locks. "My friends, where have you been? What has happened? Tell me. Tell Blinsky of your travels."
"Well, we went from here west to the winery and managed to liberate it from the blight that had overtaken it and help some of the inhabitants reclaim what is theirs. And we've indeed brought some wine back to Valaki as promised, which hopefully
in any other time,
help.
This would be a time for celebration, but these are not good days for Valaki."
"So we have heard. We've also journeyed farther to Kresk and to the abbey there. And we have made some friends along the way who we believe might help the fate of Valaki and the rest of Barovia. But it seems that our absence in Valaki has seen some changes occur. We have heard about these attacks. Do you know anything more?"
I do not. I have not seen these things. I keep to myself. It's not safe to be out on the streets, especially at night. Everyone in Valaki, they are suspicious of everyone in Valaki. No one trusts anyone. No one wants to buy any toys from Blinsky."
"Has Ivan been leaving you alone?"
Izik? "Yes. He seemed very different now. He has not threatened to burn down my store in days."
Wow.
Good.
It really turned over a new leaf. You have not noticed any sort of pattern in the people who have been attacked, have you?"
I have not been looking for such a pattern."
"Do you know who the most recent victims were?"
I am thinking last night there were two houses over by the east gates that were attacked."
"Multiple houses."
"Yes.
Has it been roughly that number every night, or Is it getting worse, this problem?
It is getting worse. It was one house at first, we think, but then more. It is unclear. You know, the people, they disappear sometimes. Sometimes the house burned down, but you know, some of the people they find, they say it's not sure which night they were taken.
And the people mm-hmm. that they have found, they are dead?
Yes. Mainly dead. Some are missing.
How were the ones who are dead, is there any idea of how they were killed?
I did not ask, friend.
That's reasonable enough. Have they been all over town?
I am thinking mainly on eastern side, perhaps the church, it wards them off. I do not know.
Interesting.
I do not know. The Baron, he says nothing. He hides in his mansion. The people, for so long we put up with so much, all these festivals, because they were to keep us safe, and now this.
Well, perhaps, if he won't keep you safe, we will.
Perhaps there is something we can do about it, and we will investigate further.
Is there anything we can do for you right now?
You are good and brave, and I am thinking I am proud just to know you people. And what can Blinsky do for you?
Tony, I would like to look around Blinsky's shop to see if there are any octopus toys that he's made, or any sort of, oh no, multi-tentacular toys, in case you do reappear. Frozen Tony
is a delicacy in some places.
Oh, no.
Froto.
No, Mr. Mr. Froto, no!
So, what do we think's going on?
We definitely angered the devil.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell if it's
one second,
people.
Blinsky. We would like to strategize.
Yeah, do we have a dog and pony huddle? Minus yeah. pony.
Call it.
I wonder if it is people who have been swayed.
It could be people. It could be. It could be a group within the town who is, you know, either abducting or murdering people for some terrible end.
Maybe it's the book club.
It's the problem is that the church seems to be protecting.
Maybe it's the teenage necromancer.
Yeah, I feel like if the church is seeming to do some sort of protection, then if it's just people, they don't tend to be sort of warded off by...
They may be superstitious or believe that the church is in some way protecting people.
Or it could be that the strategy of all huddling together is working, because it's easier to pick off small groups of stragglers than...
Can we convince all these folks to get together instead of separate? But then there's also the problem of we could be doing the work for the baddos.
This is very true. I think we should let people follow their instincts as to where they are the most safe and do everything that we can to try and determine the cause of this terrible... affliction.
I think we may be worthwhile to patrol ourselves after dark and concentrate our efforts around the eastern side of the town if there is a pattern occurring there. Perhaps we can intercept them before their next attack.
Should we tell the guards and the Burgermeister of our intentions? I would hate to have them think that we are responsible. That would just be inconvenient.
Yes, that would be most inconvenient. Perhaps it would be wise. They may try to dissuade us, but it does not seem as though they are in a position to turn down help when offered.
We might also want to investigate a house where this has happened, so we can go to the Burgermeister with as much information as possible.
Yes, and we cannot discount, I suppose, that he is responsible for this in some way. So it would be good to get a sense of that before we speak with him.
Yeah, and we could just say, you know, we'll save your town in exchange for one wedding dress.
Slightly used, previously owned.
Do not ask how we know that you have a wedding dress.
Or just assume
that's
you're
not
a rich
the
guy.
Point.
You're a rich guy. You're married. That's just it follows.
Yeah.
Elevor picks up this very strange
adventure.
Elvor picks up this very strange mobile, and it sort of looks like a squid attacking dangling ships. And he turns to Blinsky and says, I would like to patronize your shop because you are one of the only
Elvor Landman, your money, it is no good here. You take this, you have a good time.
Okay, well, Elvor is going to slip a silver piece onto the table or something.
No,
you don't see it. Fine, I'm doing a stealth check.
Sleight of hand.
Okay, I'm rolling.
Give it to Piccolo. Piccolo's not going to turn down coin.
A 20 for a sleight of hand check.
All right, you kind of distract him with one hand and then give it to Piccolo with the other hand. Piccolo the monkey bites it and puts it in the little pocket.
Perfect. I will subtract one silver piece.
Should we head out to
Piccolo waves at Samus, I guess?
I suppose Piccolo would know Samus.
They used to work together.
That's my friend from work.
Yes.
Is there anything else we need to do at Blinsky's, or should we head out and investigate a house?
Let's go investigate a house.
House investigators this summer on HGTV. Let's do it.
All right. There is, as mentioned, a house just down the street that I have marked. Blinsky also mentioned that there were several houses on kind of by the eastern gate. Do you want to just head to the closest one?
Yeah.
Closest one it is. The house that I guess Erwin Mardikoff gave you directions to is basically a collection of burnt timbers. Seems like someone has set fire to this house, managed to keep it contained such it didn't spread to the other structures around it, but it is basically just a square of burnt, blackened wood and charred personal effects.
Well, that's not going to be super helpful.
Yeah. It was probably a two-story house that has collapsed inward.
It seems strange that whoever has done this attack has the intelligence to prevent the entire town from going up in flames.
Well, I mean, maybe it wasn't the attacker that burned the house down. It could have been after it happened, the villagers decided it needed to be cleansed, so they just had a controlled burn. Didn't think to ask Blinsky about that.
But we've seen other ones that were
suggested, right? That some of them were set on fire as part of the attacks. They said some were set on fire, but assuming we take them at their word.
Blinsky did mention that there were other ones to the east by the east gate.
Continue. So we could. They're conveniently marked.
Yes. Let's proceed to the second crime scene. Or Aline, if you wanted to do something.
No, that's okay.
All right. Over by the east gate, you're pretty much on the other edge of Valaki, opposite of where you came in. There are two houses roughly across the street from each other, and they have been marked with red X's. The windows are kind of broken out as if some kind of violence has befallen them, and looking inside there, the first one you approach, there is clearly the sign of some kind of struggle that took place there. You see, even just peeking in through the door, some broken furniture and blood stains on the floor, the sign of some kind of struggle. Somebody has stacked some crates of what appears to be kindling outside the house.
Is that someone still around?
No.
That's passive aggressive.
It would be nice if this house burned down.
Yeah,
I guess I'll stack this kindling.
I wouldn't want to put this here. It might be a fire hazard.
It's just kind of dropped in, outside the house. There's three crates full of
Crucible,
very dry twigs, basically.
Peeks in the windows, but I'm not sure a 12 perception will tell us much more than we've already seen. Yeah.
It is dark. It looks abandoned. There's no sign of life in there.
I want to go around the house.
All right.
Is there a you said there's no sign of life. There's no sign of death either, was there?
Well, there was blood stains on the floor.
Okay.
No, I want to ask Imra to accompany me. Imra, you're good at spotting stuff. I feel like we should walk around the house and see if you can see any signs of what might have come or gone, what's happened. You're way better at seeing that stuff than I am.
Yeah, I'll look for like tracks and...
Give me a perception check, Imra. So Imra and Broldish, you head around the back of this little house. There's kind of a little like fenced in kind of yard back there. Looks like they might have kept some farm animals or something like that there, though there's no current sign of life here. Someone has taken the trouble to paint a red X on the back door as well. There's also some broken windows here. Imra, how'd you do?
I rolled a 1 for a total of 6.
I'm probably clomping and distracting you.
Do you want to roll a perception check, Broldish?
I will also roll a perception check, because why not?
I'm rolling for Androdite, too.
I got a 15.
How did
Androdite got a 16.
You know, Androdite is sniffing around at the ground, and Androdite finds a kind of strange scent. Unusual, perhaps we would say, not of the natural world. It does seem to match to some footprints. And they kind of go along across the yard and then up the wall of the house.
What kind of footprints? Are we talking like tiny little raccoon cute footprints? Or are
yes.
they like...
It was a tiny little cute raccoon that did this.
It was just one raccoon. One raccoon, really raccoon went bad.
Yeah, it's
they have the little masks
15.
On. It's the worst.
Did I mention that all of the people that were killed were made out of sugar and left their garbage cans uncovered? They invited this upon themselves.
They were made
what
out of sugar.
Have we wrought?
They were made out of sugar, but then when the raccoon tried to wash it,
it's not its fault. It just did what raccoons do.
Yeah. They look humanoid, though perhaps a little on the pointy side. How's that? And to be fair, it is not footprints that then go up the side of the house, but kind of, you know, claw marks. It does look like perhaps a second story window was either open or was the source of entry for these tracks.
Does it look like they started as footprints and became claw marks?
I think it's unclear. It's hard to say. They were, to be fair, they were not shod foots. These were not like shoe
prints.
Gotcha. Right.
Lena's going to try and check sort of the entrances and see if she can figure out if there was forced entry or if they sort of broke a window or try and reconstruct the story. That's another 27.
Lena, are you at the front of the house, back of the house?
She's at the front of the house, but kind of walking around the perimeter, taking it all in. And with the 27, I think it's like real crime scene velocity.
All right, yeah. You are piecing it together. It seems like somebody managed to enter, but kind of force open second story window. Some kind of creature. There was some kind of scuffle, perhaps with a small human on the second floor. And then that kind of led down to the first floor where multiple people were attacked. And judging by the size of the bloodstains on the floor, did not survive the attack. It looks pretty vicious, and, you know, it looks really like at least one portion was just kind of torn to pieces by something powerful with claws.
Lena's rogue subtype is inquisitive, so she's like reconstructing, being like,
yeah.
Second story window, and then scaling. There was a struggle!
That yes. was a fight!
You have in your mind, you know, I think with that 27, the attackers were, you know, this is not the work, though the savage murder of the inhabitants of this house was somewhat like a wild animal. The scaling of the house and entrance through a second story window does not kind of have those hallmarks. And you think that, I think it would perhaps not be too far a leap to suspect that some kind of supernatural agent of Strahd was involved here. Now, of course, you know that a true vampire cannot enter a home uninvited, but some of the lesser minions of Strahd are just freaking rude.
Didn't even bring a homecoming gift.
And so, I believe even specifically Esmeralda Tavernier spoke of the difference between vampire and vampire spawn. Who are kind of the slightly more mindless thralls that serve Strahd and his other true vampire court. And it seems like perhaps this is the work of one or more of them.
Great.
Hmm.
I think
so. The question is Strahd or his forces here within Valaki? Why have they targeted these good people who are simply living their life, throwing an unnecessary number of festivals, and occasionally, but not frequently enough, buying toys from the good Mr. Blinsky? Will our adventurers find these children of the night? Will they stop them? Or is this the end of the road? Will they never make it to Ravenloft? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time to Total Party Kill. Yeah, I'll be honest. When I had this, I had planned, oh, they'll go back to Valaki and everything will be under lockdown and it will be like, you know, everyone is in horrible isolation. I had planned that in the before times. So, yeah. So, you know, sorry if there's any cross imagery motifs with that.
When Elevor started talking about rapid testing that I think I really was like, oh man, do we have to shove swabs up everybody's nose?
Yeah, the same thing.
Yep. I didn't bring up swabs. That was
just
that
what
was
it reminded me of.
Yep. You know, keep your swabs on the deck. That's what I always say.
That's what Sailor Tony says.
Sailor